Let me ask you a couple things, so we can put the notes together. Can you, tell me some of the things you did before you came to work for ART?
I only did one recording session before I started with ART.
Yeah.
I did a thing called 2 Years of Torture. That was my first record.
That was?
Uh-huh. 2 Years of Torture and Half War. Oh. And that was in 49 for Supreme. Supreme was owned by a cat named Pat, Pat Patrick. He used to own Supreme Records. He had Jimmy Witherspoon on his label, and a girl named Paula Watson.
Yeah.
And so I recorded 2 Years of Torture for him, and he released it, and it went bankrupt. Yeah. And he sold that master to John Dalton, Dalton Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then I came on out to this cat here, our group, and did Please Send Me Someone to Love, Strange Things Happening.
I couldn't say anything.
Live and Suicide, Baby Please, on my first session. And that was it. But I never really tried show business. I just only wanted to write.
So you were already, when did you come to the West Coast?
Ooh, I've been here since 41.
41.
Yeah, I was a boy here. Huh. You know, when I was in my younger years.
So, were you out here before you started singing?
Right, before I started singing professionally. I didn't sing all my life, you know.
What made you decide you wanted to be a singer?
I didn't. It was forced on me. So I just only wanted to write. See, but every time I take my songs to a recording company to present them, you know what I mean, to audition for other artists, the company would accept them only if I was singing them. See, I could have started in 47, but I refused because I didn't want to sing, see. I just wanted to write. But in 49, I was a talent director of the Almazar Talent Club. And in the club, we had singers, writers,
you
and
were the talent director?
Right. Yeah. See? And so when I take their tunes along with mine to present to company, and the cat accepted 2 other tunes and my tune. He wanted me to sing them. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't very well refuse then in the presence of these kids that I didn't train. You know what I mean? So I accepted them. I went out on it and cut that, and that's where it started. See?
So you'd sing them to demonstrate them?
That's all I was singing them for. But the cats would accept them only if I would record for them. Because they wanted my style, you know. And I refused from 47. Oh, yeah, 47 to 49. And then after I was talent director and I had these other kids with me trying to present their stuff, I couldn't very well refuse and let them people down. So I accepted these things and all the cut.
Who were you the talent director for?
Huh?
What?
Well, we had a club called the Almuzat Talent Club.
Oh.
And the club had songwriters.
Like a club where you go in and see people?
No. It's just a regular amount of singers and writers and dancers and things formed. And they called it Almuzaz, you know, Allied Music, you know, like that.
Albums, arts?
No, we were just creative, and we were trying to perfect ourselves. There had nothing in the club but artists.
Mm.
You know, a few musicians, dancers, songwriters, and whatnot. And the time I got in the club, they voted me talent director unanimously. I just know how to write, you know.
I got to get the name of this club exactly right.
Almuzaz, Z-I-T. Almuzaz.
Okay.
I forget what it represents. See what I mean? It's Allied Music something. I don't know what that was. Anyway, unit something. Anyway, we called it for short Almuzaz. And they put me in front right away. And I was helping the kids learn how to bridge this stuff off when they're writing. You know, something that's not permissible in music, you see. And I was teaching them how to, any first lines of my songs. The first three verses, the first verse, the second verse, and omit the challenge. And then the third verse. All top lines have the same amount of words in them. Mm. Well, that's perfection. I strive for perfection. Yeah. Now you can count them. Heaven please send to all mankind. That's 8. Mm. All right, look at the first line on the second verse. Show the world how to get along.
Right.
That's 8. So it'd be easier for the style to be set.
Mm-hmm.
You dig? So I was training those kids like that. Now that's a job.
Were there some of those other kids that became well known later on?
Well, let's see. There's one girl that's in our club. She's got to be real popular, got to be singing. And I forget her name. It's been a long time ago. This was in the 40s, man. And she went places for a while. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know anything more from her. But all the rest of them just drifted. Just, you know. But I kept right on going. So now, one girl, It was a Mexican girl, and her brother was in Alabama, Artie Bravo. And she did a tune, she wrote a tune called How Wrong Can a Good Man Be, and I cut that along for Pat. It was released. But John Dolphin bought 2 years of torture, and he pushed it to the top. And that made me number one around the coast. He didn't have international distribution, see. He had me like from San Diego back in Frisco. You understand? And so, but he had a radio thing in his window, you know. And Ray Robinson was his disc jockey. And I think he still have a program in his window. Anyway, he was crazy about the tune himself, and he pushed it. Then after it got to be so hot here on the coast, and I come to this cat here. See, and he sent for me to talk with me. And boom, I went to him, and I got Police Simmons One Love. He said all over the world, see. That's why most of the people I cross country think the Police Simmons One Love was my first one. Because 2 years of torture didn't get nowhere until after Ray Charles got it. It just got big on the West Coast. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever sing in public in a club or anything before you made your first record?
No. Not the kind of singing I'm doing now. Oh. You see, when I was a youngster, I was with a choir, you know.
Sang church music?
Yeah, see. And we used to make appearances like that for the church, like they have competition. You know, like I say, a convention, a choir convention, and maybe it might be 10 or 12 churches choir meeting, you see, and like that. I've done that, you know, and I used to sing in school and crap like that, but I never cared anything about it, but my teachers and things knew more about what I should be doing than I did. I just did it because I was told to.
What was the name of the church you were in the choir?
Well, I tell you, it's a funny thing. Now, I'm a Methodist, but I belong to a Baptist choir. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this was called St. James. See, my church was St. Matthew. And our church was so small, they didn't have a choir. But across the road, about a mile, this is in the country.
Is this in Minden?
Well, out from Minden, in the country.
Oh.
Yeah, see? They had a school, had a church called St. James.
Oh.
It was a great big church, it's a Baptist church. And May LeBron Smiley, he was the bassist. We belonged to the Methodist church. It was bass and tenor in a Baptist choir. You know? And I used to sing in school closings and things like that, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old, singing solos, you know.
What did it feel like after you, you know, made hit records when you started singing places?
Nothing. It's just that I'd never felt good enough. You know, I've always found mistakes. I love people. You know what I mean? And that's the greatest thing I found out about it. Oh, naturally, I like to make money. But it let me travel. And I could see people, new faces, new places. That was the biggest thrill that I got out of it. It was going sometimes, plus the little bread, you know. But as far as the joy, I get a kick out of singing when my band is blowing exactly the right way and the house is appreciative.
Did you take your own band out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I ever traveled with until I started soloing. When I gave it up, tried to quit the road to write only. Then whatever.
What was
that? Well, when I left here in 57, the last of 57. So 57, 58, from on then, I've been doing solo work. See? Like if I go to Chicago, I'd rather go in there for 5 weeks at one club. And whatever band they punish is what I had to play with. If I go on the road, I have to go on the road with a big show and use that band. But me, myself, I was using my own band, my own transportation. I had a 33 passenger bus driver.
This was from like 51 to 57?
No, this was from like 51 to 55.
55.
Right.
I just wanted to ask you a couple more things about like your story. What was the year you had your accident?
That was in August of 52.
52?
Mm-hmm. Right at the top of my career.
Yeah,
right at the top.
Yeah, you just
I was running number one from 50 to 52, wasn't I, Pat?
Oh, yeah. Well, you were voted the artist of the year or something.
That's right.
So, you started touring again, though, after that?
After the accident? Yes, in 53. I started at 63. Well, that was, 53. I started by touring the country with a different personality, however. I have to admit, I had an inferior complex that was heavy, but I didn't quit.
He felt, Percy, really, well, you can see his picture.
all good-looking cats think that's the only thing chicks dig at. No. He didn't realize that what they really dug was something he had in there.
Uh-huh.
See, he's a young kid. He's matured like everyone hopefully does.
You know what, Pappy? And I never did do no drinking in the mouth, nothing. See, I might have to take a swig when I, the band beat'll make me nervous on my gig, or when I get ready to record. But after I had the accident, then I started drinking. Because I have to have...
You used to juice a little bit. They gave you a taste at the sessions.
That's what I said. But at the sessions, or like when I get ready to go on the bandstand, if I was nervous, I'd have to settle down. But it wouldn't be enough to call me a drinker. I don't use the word drunker. But I didn't think enough of it to buy it hardly.
Percy's always had control of himself, no matter what the hell he's put into himself. So he's always been a man.
Thank you. Thank you. Have you been singing anywhere live in the last, say, 5 years or so?
Oh, yeah, I haven't stopped.
I go out and do this.
Yeah. Yeah, back east, I went to Chicago to play for 1 weekend. And then they had the same place for 5 weeks. And I packed a man's house 3-4 nights a week, every night.
What club was that, Percy?
That was the... Golden Peacock on West 12th Street at West Madison.
Oh, that's right downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
That's great.
And then I played at the Top Disc Jockey. E. Rodney Jones got a place called Rodney's Pad on Stoner Island on 67th Street in Jackson Park Hotel. I played there for 5 weeks. You know, that's where I do locations.
You know, Percy, I don't want to, you know, tell you I do your business, but as a friend, why in the hell don't you get yourself a manager and book you? The way you were playing here and singing, you don't even need a band or anything. I mean, just doing gigs, blowing yourself.
But if I get another key, if I get me another key...
Oh, you're self-conscious.
Well, there's another some of the keys I can play it.
Well, play on your own key. You can sing everything in A, can't you? Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't.
I can create everything in A. Sometimes it'd be so low, like seven ounces of... Let me tell you a secret. Crabby, where that is. Crabby.
Yeah.
Now, see now. I'd have to say, let me tell you a secret. Let me tell you a secret. Yes, I
know. He can only do things in A, is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's all I create in A.
If he could transpose
like that, too.
C, he was a C man.
Who was?
Irving Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he can do everything in C.
Now, I can put a little thing in E flat.
Can you play a guitar?
No. I own three. And four piano. And I can't get out of here. And all my kids can play. See, my son made it.
Well, why don't you take a few lessons?
I don't know. I mean, but say if you want to teach me notes. And I don't want to.
You want to learn by head.
That's right. If I learn
can't you learn keys, other keys by head? How'd you learn A?
Yeah,
was it an accident?
No, it was on purpose.
Eight flat.
The time I went to the piano, that was the key I hit when I was a boy.
That's where you started?
And that was it. Well, then I do E flat pretty fast. But then I thought of this, and I D natural. I got some tunes here called for B. Now I do bachelor blues and C. And I do I do my blues and D natural.
In other words, Percy,
I do what a fool I was.
If you could accompany yourself, you could do that.
Yeah,
you could get a lot of gigs. They could do Percy Mayfield, the blues something or other, blues ballad.
Say, what's your name is album?
Please send me some with a lot. What should we call it?
Percy Mayfield sings Percy Mayfield. Or either Percy P. Simpson Love Mayfield sings Percy Mayfield. So please Simpson Love Mayfield.
No, I dig Percy Mayfield sings Percy Mayfield. Better
we have cut out that one.
Which one? One Room Country Shack, because that wasn't your song. One Room Country Shack, that doesn't matter.
One on that, and it's my style. Of course, I mean,
we could take that one out and put someone else
in. Yeah, just find another good boss blues, like the boss of theirs, okay.
What do you think about that, rather than please send me something a lot? We've always just assumed that would be the best title. But
Do you think there's Mary calling it Percy Mayfield, singing sure. Percy Mayfield?
Are there any did you write all the other songs that we marked up?
All but
two.
Please Believe Me and One Room Country Shack.
Please Believe Me, One Room Country Shack and Lonesome Highway. You know, Jessamy Ross wrote.
Oh,
Lonesome
did she
Highway.
Write that?
Yeah, she wrote Lonesome Highway. And I tell you another one. The Lonely One, I didn't write that.
Who wrote those, Percy? It would say on the album. I mean, on
that's
the album.
Who wrote The Lonely One? Oh, that's right. It wasn't you that
what number was it?
460.
The Lonely One.
L. Bertrand.
That's your number?
Oh, L.
Right after my accident. Yeah. 21, 21, that. Five, seven.
Yeah.
And it would be nice for it to be going on now. Anyone should ask why I'm alone.
All right, well, Percy, I'll tell you what. We ought to pick out 16 sides, and if we call it Percy Mayfield Sings Percy Mayfield, we'll have only your compositions.
Okay.
If we have Please Send Me Someone to Love or some other title, then we'll put in One Room Country Shack,
yeah.
The Lonely One, and Please Believe Me. I don't think they were your three toughest numbers anyhow.
No, we can put One Room Country Shack on one of the blues albums.
Yeah.
We already have
no, along with.
Yeah.
Well, One Room Country Shack was a killer.
Send me flowers, man.
I think we could explain that on the notes. In addition to 15 of his own tunes, he gives the special Percy Mayfield treatment to.
Yeah.
And makes it his own.
To show the versatility of an artist, that he just doesn't only sing his own.
I need love so bad. Take the place of a lot of the things you're talking about. Like, they don't want to go out, but it's sick. But all the others, every one now and then, dude, that's some heavy stuff there.
Yeah, but Barry, is this clear to you what Percy's done now?
Yeah.
This side means this is what you think is the heaviest, right?
Right.
Yeah. And these are second heaviest
that's
on
right.
this side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How many you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13. No, you only got 12.
Don't count.
Yeah, he has 12 without counting that.
Yeah.
See, we want to put 14.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
12.
No, listen.
Well, we could take those 12 and then 2 out of these 4.
Oh, yeah. Well, you going to put 14 on there?
Yeah. Make it a good album.
Yeah, but.
He has given people their money.
2 out of those 6.
Yeah.
See, and these are old records, Percy. You got to give people something for their bread, you know.
Yeah. Well, at that rate, man, let me tell you. At that rate, don't forget the Lonely One.
Okay.
If anyone should ask, if anyone should wonder why I'm saying blue, that was a monster music. If anyone should ask why I'm just tell them about the love that broke my heart. I'm the lonely one. It was a monster.